Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday night, November 4th, 2020. Well, a year before that. We've gone into the future.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you brought a surprise.
I did.
You just put that up there. What is that?
It's nothing. It just makes the show a little better.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, wait. You got to try to do this.
Well, let me try this again. Ladies and gentlemen, you have found yourself hanging with us live in the Sports Attic, but from my basement again. This is my partner, the one and only Alfred Ferdinand Larcher III. My name is Clark Lawrenson. I'm the first. What a...
I don't even know
what's on there.
Beautiful.
I'm guessing one says the greatest, and then the other guy.
Nailed it.
For the Facebook Live folks, I don't know what he has on there yet. For those of you listening on podcast right now, Alfred Ferdinand Larcher just put up a couple of nameplate-looking things on my desk. I don't know.
Yeah, we got our nameplates on there now. Now people know who we are.
Oh. Like actual real nameplates? Like,
yeah.
Oh, look at that. Co-host. Yours says co-host, too, I'm sure of it.
Absolutely.
Oh, what the shit? Oh, that is crap, Al. Do you want to tell our podcast listeners what's on our nameplates here?
Well, a good friend of mine.
We'll post a picture of it on our Twitter. Well, I guess.
Judy Anderson, she does the nameplates, and she does all the naming and the plates at the White House. She gave me a call, a big listener of ours. She's been tuning in for a couple years now.
Oh.
And she said, you know, we could probably get the White House to print up some name plaques for you. And I said,
okay.
Sure. Just throw Ferdinand Larcher. Just do Alfred F. Larcher III. I don't want to be pretentious.
Because she couldn't fit it.
And I said, well,
he wanted your name to still appear big enough.
His is Clark Lawrenson. And, you know, just put our titles underneath and we'll be fine. So that's what she did.
And what titles did you get? You went with that. Okay.
Well, yours says Clark Lawrenson, co-host.
All right.
And mine says Alfred F. Larcher, star and host.
That's absolutely ridiculous. You got the third on there and everything. Yeah, that's pretty good. They look great. I do think that maybe you should... Yeah, you know, I mean, like, different billing, but that's all right.
Well, I had nothing to do with that. That was Judy at the White House. She went ahead.
Oh, she listens to the show.
She listens to the show, and she just assumed, you
I
know.
Get what this is all about. This is all about that one comedy
that poster?
Poster.
You're damn right it is.
Where I was the only one on the damn thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
This guy, we've told this story 1,000 times. We have a comedy group, Comedy Accident, you know, fresh young kids right out of Second City, ready to take over the world.
Right.
Ready to be the next Saturday Night Live cast.
Uh-huh.
And we commission an artist to make a poster for us. Clark's in charge of getting
a new Comedy Accident poster, and I asked my friend to make a Comedy Accident poster.
This son of a bitch draw like he was seeing into the future. And it's a picture of Clark water skiing, and then there's fish jumping out at him. None of us are on the rest of the poster.
Not that I remember it very well or anything, but it was a picture of me. I had been getting eaten by a shark, and I was climbing out of the shark.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
I hope that guy doesn't draw anymore.
I didn't know when I invite my friend to the shows, he sees our show for what it is. And he's like, oh. Well, this is what I see when I see
that cat had never seen one of our shows or listened.
Yes, he had. Absolutely.
Because he would have known, like, I was clearly, you know, the draw, you know?
The night that you turned the lights off with your mind.
Yeah, well, yeah. Not everything worked as good. Not everything was comedy gold, my friend.
Not like what I did up there. I think some of my most famous times were the time when people couldn't tell if I was asleep or pretending to be on a phone.
Yeah.
It might have been a little of both.
When Clark improvises being on a phone, it looks like he's nodding off.
That's right. It makes sense. So now when I'm in a scene and I have to improvise nodding off, I just improvise being on a phone.
Is that poster like hanging up in your bathroom?
No, I don't. I never paid for it because I was like, this isn't what I was looking for.
So where's the poster?
I don't have it.
You don't have it?
I didn't have a poster. We only had it digital form.
Oh.
We never got the poster made.
Surprised you haven't printed that out and hanging in the background. That'd be
soon.
Stealing, I guess.
Yeah, like I will pay him if I start using it like that.
Wow.
I'll send him
mighty
the money.
Kind of you.
Huh?
It's mighty kind of you.
Yeah. We'll see.
Well, I beat your ass and
well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what you're talking about.
I feel like all week.
Like,
I,
where did we play?
All year I've been beating your ass in year-long fantasy.
I don't know if that's absolutely true.
Oh, it is. It is. 100%. As a matter of fact, I'm in we played a game yesterday where I think I'm in last place, and I haven't beaten anybody. I have one win on the season up until I played you.
Huh. Wow. Well, thank you for coming around and winning. Yeah.
The sixth quarter.
I got knocked out of first place last week, and now you've just come in and knocked me down another one. I don't have a team that can sustain. Like, I was in first place for like 2-3 weeks in a row, and I knew it the whole time. I'm like, I need to try to make a move.
Oh,
I got
plenty of teams.
Nothing
sustaining.
Happened.
I'm in the money, my friend. I went and I didn't even feel, but my car broke down, and I brought it to the mechanic this morning. And yeah, it's always weird. Like, it's a weird mechanical shop.
What happened over at the mechanic? I feel like there's something we should be talking about, but I really don't want to discuss it. So we
yeah. Well,
tell me about your car.
He got the car in, and
it was a long drive.
Right. So the mechanic is exactly across the street from my house.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You look out my bedroom window; it looks right into the shop where they do the work. Mm-hmm. So so all day, you know, I brought the car over there in the morning, and they wheeled it in, and yeah, all day I was peeking out the window. Sneaking a peek, seeing what was going on. I put up 107. The Rainmakers in the Foosball 2019 league put up 172.25 points, where the Six Corners Football Club, coached by Mr. Clark Lawrenson, put up 97.2 points. So,
well, this is that bullshit half point PPR league.
Almost beat you by 100 points, my friend.
Do you know that? Like, before the second games yesterday, you were still projected to only win by, like, 10
yeah,
or something. And then you just blew it out of the water.
Well,
like,
that's...
Which guys went off second game? Lockett, Carr.
Giants touchdown, Wade. Who
yep.
was it?
Hill went off late. Yeah, all of that. Just unreal. That there is how you got me, my friend.
Absolutely. Well, I'm just good. That's how I got you.
Something with
yeah, I hear it too. It's really frustrating. We don't have these problems in the attic. So, the Chicago Bears.
I'm sorry.
I did a little bit of a time warp because I didn't have a car. So, I went back to the early 90s.
Okay.
And so the car dies on Thursday. The phone cord dies on Friday. Saturday, I Uber in and I don't get the phone cord because I thought I brought one from work back home with me and I didn't. So, about 6 a.m. when I'm finishing up, I was building my 150 lineups for DraftKings.
Right.
I wake up at 10:30 in the morning to – there's an hour podcast I like to listen to that goes over the injury report in the morning. And so I have to – I can't not listen to it because that's irresponsible and I'm spending money and I got all these teams. I got to make sure I'm managing them properly.
Okay. And you listen to your podcast on your phone? Is that,
no, I listen to podcast on a tablet, but the phone is my alarm clock. Mm-hmm. So I have no way – like I look, it's at 1%. I'm like, well, damn, I have no way to charge this. So I go to the tablet and I find there's an alarm on the tablet. So I set that.
Uh-huh.
And I set it for 10:40. The show starts 10:45. And I go to sleep. This is about 9 in the morning, so I'm going to get like an hour.
Yeah.
Hour and a half.
Uh-huh.
And next thing you know, I wake up, it's 1:30.
Oh, Jesus. You woke up in the middle of the game.
Yeah, I woke up at Bears halftime.
Oh, and this is how you ended up with defenses not playing and all different kinds of things.
Right.
Okay.
So the Bears, all I saw was the second half, so they looked okay.
Yeah. I don't know if okay. I mean,
well, they looked average.
They moved the ball. They were able to do things. Yeah.
I missed the whole first half of the 27 yards I saw posted poetically all over Facebook.
Oh, everybody was blowing that. I mean, it was ridiculous.
So I guess I'm not as mad. But you know what? It's that point in the season where I've given up on the Bears, and I'm not going to – I'm going to watch Red Zone, you know, because I'm playing all these games. I got – you know, quite frankly, it's just more exciting than the Bears game right now. So
sure.
It's not like I think I would have watched it. But what I did last week is I put one on the tablet and then Red Zone on the TV.
Okay.
And then I had the volume on the radio so I could turn the Bears game on whenever I saw something going on I wanted to see, or if there was a lull in the action in the Red Zone, which, you know, does happen sometimes.
Sure.
Am I okay? Do I sound okay?
You sound absolutely brilliant, my friend. It was me. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I got to the bottom of it there.
We can only hope.
So you got to watch the game. Guys, if you want to join in on the call, give us a call at 760-454-8834. 760-454.
Oh, you got to the bottom of it, all right.
8834. Yeah, it's absolutely perfect.
Deal.
Wow. Huh. Yep.
You know, you had the problem last week.
No, last week things were good. Last week your lighting was not great.
My lighting was terrible because then you got me sitting again in the baby chair.
Mm-hmm. My little buddy Al over here. No, but the week before that, the podcast was overmodulated a bit, but the Facebook worked out fine. I'm not sure how that happens. And that was the one from the attic. I don't know. You and I, like, we could spend a little bit of time on it to figure it out, but I don't know how one got one thing.
You were overmodulating?
Both of us were.
No. Oh.
On the podcast version. Like, it was, yeah, I don't understand how that happened. The next time we're there, like, we can look at it, whatever. Well, you can look at it and figure it out. Anyway, join in on the call. We'll talk Bears. We'll talk whatever. 760-454-8834. 760-454-8834. If you're watching on Facebook Live, leave a comment there. We will talk to you there about it. Al, there's a lot to say about the Chicago Bears, but I don't have the energy to say very much about it.
Well, I'm over. I'm done. Like,
you've said purgatory for a few weeks.
The season's over, you know?
Like the season's just over.
Like, what is there to be mad at this point? You know who they are. You know what you're going to get every Sunday, so there's no point in being angry anymore. They just are where they are. I will say this, and I'm going to regret this. You know, you know how Facebook does this thing where they tell you things that you've said in the past? They give you 5 years ago you posted this.
Yeah. They,
you know, I saw one or two of those where I was defending Trubisky, or not Trubisky, what's that, Chesterman?
Trestman. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I was defending Trestman a little too long. And I'm not going to do that with Trubisky. He's done. Officially, I threw him in. I had a Alondra Blaze over this morning. We threw Trubisky the garbage.
This show defended Trestman for so long that we took a 2-year break for a while. We just stopped doing
the
show.
They voted us off of the air.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry that you ever felt that way. So you're now, this means you're off the Trubisky train. You're off the Nagy train.
No, that's the part I'm getting at. I don't. I'm going to take a moment and say I don't think Nagy is as big of a problem as people think he is. I'm going to defend him and say, you know, here's a guy put in a position where he doesn't have a quarterback. Like, what the hell is he supposed to do? His scheming can't work if you can't do anything with the ball. If you want to be a passing team and you can't get the ball moved through the air, like, your scheme's a total failure. I don't know that that's all on him. I mean, that's on the quarterback. That's on the general manager. I'm more against Pace right now than I am Nagy.
Right.
And then what are you going to do? You're going to bring in a new coach next year? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
I wouldn't mind talking a little bit about Ryan Pace on here. I mean, we should discuss some of his draft picks that he's made. Need I remind you about his first season in 2015? You know who his number one overall pick was at 7th, the wide receiver?
Who?
Kevin White.
Who?
Kevin White.
Who?
You know who Kevin
Who's
White
that?
Is. Kevin White.
Never heard of him.
Kevin White out of West Virginia, wide receiver. He was fast.
Who does he play for now?
I don't know. I think last I saw, he got cut. He got cut somewhere. Eddie Goldman is out there as well.
Who's that now?
Eddie Goldman's another player. Yeah, he hasn't been on a roster. He didn't play. He got cut before the season.
Uh-huh.
Kevin White, that is. Where's Eddie Goldman these days? Still playing line for the Chicago Bears? Yeah, he's around. Other guys drafted by Ryan Pace. Now, he does have a couple decent ones in there. 2016, number one overall, Leonard Floyd, Cody Whitehair, Jonathan Bullard, Nick Kwiatkowski, Deion Bush, DeAndre Hall, Jordan Howard, DeAndre Houston Carson, Daniel Braverman. In 2015, they also got Hrannes Grassu, Jeremy Langford, Adrian Amos. And then here in 2017, number one overall, traded up to get Mitchell Trubisky. Number two, round two, the 45th pick overall, Adam Shaheen. Round four.
Just like one of his worst picks ever.
Round four. This is what he's going to go down for being the best thing that he's done. And it's in round four, he got two players, Eddie Jackson and Tariq Cohen.
Yeah.
And then last year, Roquan Smith, number one overall. Seems okay.
Hmm.
We'll see.
He's not changing the world.
Not number one overall, but their first round pick. Second round, they got both James Daniels and Anthony Miller. I don't know who Anthony Miller is yet. And then
he's the next Antonio Brown, from what I understand.
Well, Iwibunyi, the linebacker, Bilal Nichols, Kyle Fitz, and Javon Wims. Of course, that was last year's. And then this year, it's David Montgomery, Riley Ridley, who hasn't even seen time. Riley Ridley that they got in the fourth round. Duke Shelley, a cornerback. Kareth White Jr. in the seventh round, along with Steven Denmark. And that's a running back and a cornerback. What I'm getting at is there's two good picks on there that I've seen so far, and everything else, not so good when it comes to picks. As far as trades go, the Khalil Mack trade seems okay. Is it? Is it still it's still a great trade? Or do we need are there so many holes with the Chicago Bears right now that it would be great to have first round draft picks and not a Khalil Mack in there?
Well, yeah, I mean right now I mean, look, you don't have first round picks. Your money is now locked into this guy, and he was a great piece if everything else was working, but now that everything else is failing, it just seems like a guy who, you know, you're going to spend a lot of money on, and he's going to get double teamed quite often until you can find a solution there. You know, I'll tell you what, this guy from Indiana, this what's his name? The
Jordan
defensive
Howard.
Coordinator.
Oh, the Colts, Pagano. Uh-oh.
Yeah. This Pagano.
Here we go.
We lose one guy on the defensive line, Hicks.
Yep, Akeem Hicks.
Akeem Hicks goes down.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we go from
co-host,
one of the best, an elite run-stopping defensive unit, to one of the bottom five run-stopping units in the NFL.
Yes.
That would not have happened with Nick Fangio. That's on your defensive coordinator. If you can't find a way to scheme, to find a solution for one guy going out, then there's some problems there. So
right.
I'm not, you know, I think losing Fangio was a part of the problem we're facing. Obviously, you know, Trubisky can't do anything.
As you said there, so many things with this defense, a lot of measurements out that were out there, your DVOAs and everything, like Bears number one defense last year.
Right.
Anywhere you looked, there's not very many places to go from there besides down. From where they were. However, they're just not that elite force that people are scared of.
From a statistical standpoint, from numbers guy, it's hard to maintain your defense at number one. Like, that's not going to happen. But to go from number one to the bottom of the barrel.
Are they?
With one – since
he's been gone, they're at the bottom.
Since the Raiders.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, they can't stop anything.
No.
We've had over 100 – yards put up on us. And guess what? Since week one, every number one receiver has gone against us has put up 100 yards.
This offense, we wouldn't be as mad about right now if the defense hadn't fallen off so much right here. We definitely wouldn't. I mean, this offense, Mitchell Trubisky, and this is not me defending him, but I just want to tell you, 303 yards, no interceptions thrown, and a touchdown. I mean, that can be enough to win you a ball game. But then again, they need to move the ball.
This skunky kid in the slot can't stop anything either.
Who?
Skrunky.
Scroll? No.
Skunky. The slot corner. Buster
Oh, yeah.
Scream.
Scrine.
Buster Scrime.
Scream.
Buster Scrimes up in the slot. I tell you what, that loss of who do we have in the slot last year? We wound up going to, I think, the Packers.
Adrian Amos.
Was it Amos?
Right.
That doesn't sound right, but yeah.
Amos went there? Yeah, I believe he did. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Was it Callahan or something? Anyways, our slot coverage has gone to shit.
By the way, he did not have 303 yards. I thought that was wrong. That's from the playoffs last year.
Good to know. Thank you. That's why I co-host.
Yeah, I'll take it.
See?
Absolutely.
The lady at the White House was correct on that.
But yeah, you talked to you got in touch with a lady from the White House.
Well, she got in touch with us. She's a big listener. She listens. She's in charge of the engraving department at the White House. So
that was really nice of her to make those for you. I'm glad you didn't go to anyone special. I mean, actually, she's pretty special. We'll get there.
Pretty good DraftKings. I play tournaments,
uh-huh.
And I threw $75 in tournament play this week for 150 teams, and I came back with $75. I broke straight up even, which was good because I have another 150 place finish. I think I pulled up I took 100 and I finished at 181st, so I was out of the 150 over. In a field of over 200,000 people, I put up 244.12 points. So, decent day. But in order to make money, the tournament either has to hit and make really big money, win all the monies,
uh-huh.
Or I need my cash game to pick up while the tournament game doesn't completely tank. So, this week, I only put $35 in tournament play. And usually I only play like one or two. It's National Take a Hike
Day at AARP. Yeah, go ahead. There's our local.
AARP, wonderful.
Our most recent advertisement right there.
Great. It fits our demographic.
Absolutely.
So they always say diversify your money. You know, if you have a dollar to put into a cash game, or if you have $30 to put in a cash game, don't put $30 in one cash game. Put $31 in the 30 different games.
Right.
Or be creative with your money. So I played our game, which was $5.
Mm-hmm.
That exact same lineup, which wasn't very good. I think I put up – I think I came third out of seven in our game.
160 somewhere in there?
147.12. I didn't even break 150.
Mm-hmm.
Got third in ours. You got second. You put up 191, so I wasn't even close. And then first place took 206. I made fun of him Saturday night.
No, yeah, oh, that's great. Yeah, way to go,
Hogan. I ripped into Charlie Hogan, and he ended up putting up 206.
What'd you tell him?
I'm like, hey, you just can't get the job done, man. Every week I see my name above yours. And
oh, wow.
He's like, no, not true. You'll see.
You'll see. And then maybe it was that talk.
It could have been.
It could have been that talk. The winner in that cash game, Charlie, got Stafford. Derrick Henry, Philip Lindsay, Marvin Jones Jr., and the points here are 29 from Stafford, 24 Henry, 15.2 from Lindsay, 29, 30 points from Marvin Jones Jr., DK Metcalf had 30 points,
yep.
Sammy Watkins, 13.3, Vance McDonald, 14 points, Tyler Lockett, 43.2, and his Jets defense only got him 6 points, but that's better than nothing.
It was an expensive stack this week, but... I played. Obviously, I won my money back in tournament. I obviously had a good group of players.
Right.
I played, and my mistakes were one. I knew Miami was going to go off, and I played a lot of Miami. Preston Williams, and that did me really well. My biggest mistakes were I thought the Jets were going to bounce back and have a big receiving game, and both those receivers I think put up under 12 points.
They lost to the Dolphins.
The other mistake I made that probably kept me from winning money and it hurt me in the cash game was I believed Aaron Jones was going to have a great game. He put up 4 points.
He hurt me. I had him in that cash game with our guys.
I also I thought Aaron Rodgers was going to have a good game. I played a lot of Aaron Rodgers this week. Okay. I was smart enough to stay away from the receivers. Thankfully, I didn't touch any backer receivers. But I also went Chubb. And the thing is, I knew Jacobs of the Raiders was going to have a great day. Like, I thought him and Jones were going to be the guys who were going to be – I got off completely off of Delvin Cook. Didn't play any Delvin Cook. I think he put up 15 points. I stayed on McCaffrey, even though he was 10 grand.
Jesus.
And statistically speaking, he's the seventh player to be over 10 grand on DraftKings. And statistically speaking, you generally don't get a return on it, but it was such a nice spot. You had to play him a little bit. I didn't have enough conviction to play him in cash game. You did that. And really all you needed to do was just move down to the Redskins defense at $1,800. And then you could still get Ertz, because everyone knew Ertz was going to be the tight end of the week. He put up 28 points at 4,700. That was a steal. Okay, so here's what I'm saying with the diversifying your games. I put up $147 in our game of seven players. I took third.
Mm-hmm.
I put $10 in a game of three people, winner take all. I came in last place.
Wow.
I put same lineup. Mm-hmm. I put $10 in a 10-man field. I think the top four positions pay out. I think I was in sixth place, same team. I put that same lineup in a $10 game, winner take all, 5-man field, and I took first place.
Mm-hmm.
So those 147 points, we were able to beat four other guys. I was able to win all my money back on the week. And do okay, and I had chances. Obviously, you know, I had 150 teams. Any of them could have sprung up to the number one spot.
Yep.
I'm obviously getting in the top 200 in play, and just by diversifying the cash game, I end up saving my ass by hitting on one of the three. So, and thankfully, it was a big game.
I shouldn't have played both Jeffrey and Ertz against the Bears defense. I should have rolled with one. Ertz was obviously the guy. Wow, what a game from him.
Yeah, I put
a lot of Ertz.
I put a lot of stock in Jeffrey as well. Yeah. Jeffrey and Howard, the revenge game.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I bought into the narrative. And I think, what did Jeffrey do? 4 points?
7.6.
Yeah, that was a bust.
But Ertz, man, 28 points. He had one touchdown, 103 receiving yards. That got him over the 100 edge, you know. And 9 receptions. That'll do it. That'll really do it. That Aaron Jones thing is biting me. I saw Josh Jacobs out there, too. I could have gotten him. I could have put him on my team.
Yeah.
And I had him there, and then I took him off, and I go, Al, I'm going to regret this. It was one of those moves.
Josh Jacobs, if you've been watching.
I had turned on the TV for a second. As the Bears game was on, I turned on Red Zone and watched him score a touchdown within, like, the first 10 minutes
of
the day.
Yeah. If you've been watching, you know, a good fantasy player watches the field every week, and he's been a guy who's been positive on the positive side of projections for like the last 5 weeks. He's getting the volume, and he was in a position to go ape, and he did just that. I thought that was an easy play. Mac, because you start looking, because in that same price range that he's in, you have guys like Marlon Mack, who tends to get you 15 to 20 points, and that's it. I think he actually had a good week this week. I think he did 25, which I think is a ceiling game on the year.
Okay.
You get Mack, Devontae Freeman in that price range. You get Derrick Henry. Henry might have been the guy who put up 25.
Yeah, he put up a bunch.
Those guys only give you 15 to 20 points on a weekly basis. Now, they're very consistent. Their floor is high, but they're not going to win you very much.
He's the reason Hogan played him, and he got almost 25 points.
Yeah, I remember early in the day when I looked at Hogan's team, I wasn't very impressed. And like when you break down cash games, even though he won, let's see, he took Stafford, which was the obvious
scored almost 60 more points than you did.
Right. But there's still wagering risk versus reward.
Sure.
He did the Stafford Jones stack, which was a very good play. And that gave him 60 points.
We should invite the larger Laurenton listener, the Sports Addict listener out there, to join in our game, because we don't have.
I almost opened it this week.
We don't have the big showing anymore.
I was going to wake up, and if I didn't have a full boat, I was going to go ahead and open it to our listeners.
You slept.
But I slept in.
Damn. Because of the charger, the car across the street. Okay. Your car's in good shape now.
Well, it's running again.
Okay.
Listen, that car is something like 18 years old, 19 years old.
Nice.
You know, she's an antique. She's a relic. And
can you get the antique license plate yet?
Like, I think I'm two. I think I'm about 2 years
20
out.
Years?
I think 20 years.
25 years. That's fantastic. That's perfect.
The old PT Cruiser. You know, everyone laughed at this car, but it's been nothing but go since day one. So,
speaking of things that happened a long time ago,
and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
Well, 3 years ago today, I was at big celebration down in Grant Park. You and I went down there to welcome in the Cubs victory trophy.
I wasn't there.
I know it. We went to a Blackhawks.
We did go to the Blackhawks.
Because you're the big
Great.
Hockey fan.
Yeah, you know me.
Big hockey fan.
Big hockey fan, yeah. It's funny.
Hockey fan. No, I went down with a true fan, a buddy of mine named Brent.
He grew up in Indiana. What does he know about baseball?
Yeah, he did. I came out ahead this week. I would have been a little bit further ahead, but I, in my leagues or in my tournament play, I came out ahead, Mr. Al Archer.
Really?
Well, my best team was the one that you saw. I decided, even though I was building, I built that one as a cash game. As we've discussed, it's not really a cash game, but I did build that as a cash game. But in, I netted myself, $10, maybe. I think I came out like $12 ahead.
Beautiful.
You came out even in cash.
Or well, no, I came up ahead.
Terms. Oh, ahead in cash?
Yeah,
even
a little
in.
Bit. Okay. I won 50, or I won 45, and I put 30 in. So yeah, I did about $5 to $10.
Okay.
For all the work I put in during the week, that's not worth it. It's not what I'm looking for.
No.
But, you know, my two big weeks are the next two big weeks.
Wait, what are they?
Weeks 11 and 12.
10 and 11.
11 and 12. Well, 10.
11 and 12 were your big weeks 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's good.
I might roll with I haven't looked at pricing yet for this week, but I think I'm going to roll with some smaller stacks this week.
Okay.
And just play my convictions. Go with what I think is going to work. I really felt strong about Stafford this week, and I didn't make him my number one quarterback. Aaron Rodgers was, and that again probably kept me out of money. And it was just a matter of generating so many lineups. You got to start playing percentages and forcing things to happen.
Uh-huh.
You know, like the first time I ran all my lineups, I had everything set. Cole Beasley was at 40% of my teams. And I said, I can't have Cole Beasley in 40% of my teams. That doesn't make any damn sense. So I cut him down. I bumped up Preston Williams, which ended up being a really smart move.
Yeah. No, that'll do it. Jesus, that's wild. Al, I caught this news today. This is something from just before this game, from Thursday night, Halloween. Here in the Chicagoland area, we got like, what, 5 to 8 inches of snow, depending on where you were?
Yeah.
Quite a bit of snow fell here on Halloween Eve. Some towns outside of the city moved their Halloween to Saturday. Even here, we did it out here.
Bullshit.
But if you go up into Khalil Mack's neighborhood, when you went down the street and you wanted to go in to see Khalil Mack, standing out front of his gate was a security guard.
What'd they tell you to say?
This house isn't doing Halloween this year.
Oh, no way.
Wow.
What if I give you a bag of candy to hand out just to be neighborly? Can we do that? It's so unneighborly. It's legitimately the only house in the whole neighborhood not handing out candy.
Really?
Yes.
All I know is I was just asked to stand out here and say this house isn't participating this year.
Wow, brutal. I hope he moves really soon.
Wow. That dude not having it.
Wow, his little snotty-nosed rich kid can't get candy.
Can't get candy. He messed up. Like, just if you do hire somebody to stand out there, buy him a bunch of candy bars, like, right? Like, do the neighborly thing, maybe.
Maybe Khalil Mack is a Jehovah's Witness and he doesn't believe in
it. If that's the case, that's fine. But he did make sure to say, I was told to say that this house isn't participating in Halloween this year.
Oh, so you think maybe
like
next
he said
year?
Specifically this year, which means he wouldn't be a Jehovah's Witness.
Well, maybe on winning.
Maybe the security guard improvised.
Maybe winning seasons, you know, he gives candy out.
I just love that was the news today, like that I caught that story.
Here's what I would do. If I had a kid, I would tell them about the Halloween stork.
What would you tell them about the Halloween stork?
I would be like, listen, little Al. Listen, Al4.
Hey, little Al.
A4.
Wait, I get A4, though, if I have a boy, right? Like, didn't you already?
You can have Al4 if you want. Okay. So something stupid. He wants to dress as Khalil Mack for Halloween.
Wait, why is that stupid? Oh.
So he dresses. I would say, listen, it's 30 degrees outside. You're going to get a cold, and you're going to have to walk around in the cold and knock on people's doors. It's dark. Here's what we're going to do. Tomorrow, you invite you bring over.
Come over to get some Clark bars.
You can have a sleepover. And the Halloween stork is going to come with more candy than you would have gotten if you went out trick or treating. And you know what?
Yeah.
That kid would have so.
Been a beautiful night in Ohio.
I don't know. I don't go to Ohio.
But I know some really nice people. I hear Ohio's okay. It's Ohio. We're okay.
Oh, I chowed the feet up. Now you got to come up
just
here.
One foot. I don't need two. I don't have to do two. There's this. Well, my oldest and I, my 2.5-year-old, we went to 5 houses, all within a quick walking distance. It took us 10 minutes, and we were back home. Is that all right with you?
No.
In those conditions?
Not at all. You should have kept the kid home.
It was snowing.
You know, if you missed the show today because the kid was sick because of you going outside with that stupid costumes on, I'd be highly disappointed in your parenting skills.
All of the parents do this thing now called Elf on the Shelf. Not Al on a shelf, but Elf.
I know. I watched Shark Tank. And the one dude bought the Elf on a Shelf.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, that was a Shark Tank
Which
thing.
Guy bought it?
I think it was Herkovitz.
Yeah, Herkovitz. Yeah.
Herkovitz.
And you set this thing up. And then I didn't know that was a Shark Tank thing. And he moves in the middle of the night. So the parents have to get up and go and move it. So then your kid wakes up and thinks that this little elf had walked all around and created all of this mischief in the house.
Mischief
in the house. It's spelled mischief, right?
It's spelled mischief, but it's not mischief.
Some of that mischief up in here. And they put it somewhere. That's creepy, right?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm teaching my kid that there's a little elf running around and he's causing mischief.
Mischief.
Thank you. Mischief. I don't know. That one kind of gets me a little bit, Al. So, yeah.
So you know what your kids are getting for Christmas?
Ooh, I'll find a shell from you probably, huh, Al?
Yeah.
That's a little soon.
I'm going to but I'm going to tape your face on the elf. It's going to be Clark on a ledge. What is that, piping?
If you were optimistic, it's a kid monitor. If you were optimistic about the Bears, like what's your level of optimism, the Chicago Bears right now?
How could you be optimistic about this team?
Yeah, you can. Guys, join in on the call, 760-454.
That's like saying, you know what?
760-454.
Can you write me an essay on the positives of the Holocaust? Well, like, it's just not, there's nothing to take positive out of it.
Every moment that I want to be like, oh, man, I think I'm more optimistic about the Chicago Bulls than I am about the Chicago Bears. Well, then last night the Bulls play the Pacers while they're missing 3 starters. And they can't even compete. They can't even come close to winning that game. What is there here in the city, Al, to be cheerful about in pro sports? Not the Blackhawks. I think they've won a game or 3, maybe. I don't know, 2.
Well, this is not a town of being cheerful of your sports teams. It's not who we are.
No, not tonight.
Except Cubs fans. These dopey idiots think everything is wonderful.
Something to speak about. Last week, Facebook Live hit us.
Was the kid snorting? Is that what that sounds like? Water pipes going through here?
No, there's a there's a noisemaker in there. And that's I have it set on rain. It's raining.
Oh, so rainstorm on a Monday night is perfectly acceptable.
It's not making a rainstorm.
And the kid, it sounds like Moses is building an ark in the background.
The kid knows it's a machine that makes noise. It's fine.
It doesn't know that.
Yes, it doesn't know that.
She doesn't know that.
Thank you, Al. No, it's fine.
It's fine?
No, like it, the situation.
The situation? Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right, pal.
Yeah, okay.
Don't even.
Father of the year over there, sending your kids out in the freezing rain.
Hey, you were mentioning some issues with transportation and stuff and perhaps shopping and what have you. Do you know that now Amazon has announced? You've done the Amazon Fresh thing a time or two, back when Jewel pissed you off.
Yeah.
You left them and then you joined the $14.99 a month.
Yeah, I did.
You had to pay $14.99 a month to do Amazon Fresh.
Not very fresh.
Which we did it a little bit. I think they've gotten a little bit better. Because this week we ordered it again because a week ago it was announced that Amazon is eliminating that extra $14.99 you have to pay. So with your Prime membership now, with your Amazon Prime membership, you can now order groceries.
Beautiful.
And if you order more than $50 worth, it's free with no delivery. I just wanted to give you that.
Well,
they don't pay me a dime to say that. I would not want to help that machine that much.
Why?
I mean, I'll let them pay me to drive some groceries somewhere, I guess. But
I looked into it this week, so I guess I knew that because I was wondering where that fee was because I was like, well, I couldn't go grocery shopping Saturday. I didn't have a car.
Right.
So I had enough food at the house where I was fine. You know, I got some spaghetti.
Yeah, you had to go into things that you wouldn't normally
I got some ribs in the freezer pulled out. I'm going to do some ribs tonight.
That's good.
I got a corn. You know, this corned beef's been in the fridge for a month.
We were in a spot, like, with kids, it's a great delivery thing to do. How was that corned beef? Did you do it?
It expires the 15th, so.
It's in your fridge or
it's in the fridge.
The 15th, I mean, you got time.
It's sell-by day. I didn't realize those things last, like, a month, but.
They do last, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. I had salmon that I got in the freezer the day of. Yes, salmon.
Salmon.
Don't, come on. I had it in the fridge, and I looked at it the day of. It said freeze or use by, and I'm like, well, it's not in the cards to use, so I froze it. If you do it on that day, can I go a day after with salmon? Salmon?
Salmon.
The L is silent.
It is, but it isn't.
I can turn that down.
Yeah, it's like a fucking water pipe main is busted down here.
Aren't your cans, aren't they soundproof? Like, how are you still hearing it?
It's coming through the air.
No.
Yeah. Everyone listening thinks there's a rainstorm. Your kid thinks there's a rainstorm. I think there's a rainstorm.
Rains down in Africa. Facebook Live isn't going to get on me about that.
I can see clearly now. The rain is gone.
Speaking of Facebook Live, I brought it up. Last week, they sent me a message after our show saying, we detected 60 seconds of a Sturgill Simpson.
Yeah, it's that overrated Sturgill
and
album.
And that's a copyright from so-and-so. Well, then, I guess I won't let you know that today I became a verified Sturgill fan, and for tomorrow morning,
oh, so you're grabbing tickets?
Tomorrow morning's pre-sale at 10 a.m. I'm gonna grab some tickets. I'm gonna go to that show.
Why don't you grab me one?
Oh, you're gonna come?
Yeah.
Hang on. You're gonna come see him perform that overrated album?
And just because it's overrated doesn't mean I don't like it.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Yeah. No. Tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah.
You grab a ticket?
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
That's happening.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I tried verifying to get the damn thing, and Ticketmaster frustrated so much I threw my phone.
It was a pain in the ass.
It kept telling me the password wasn't working.
Me too.
And I would go, I changed the password, it wouldn't work. It happened over and I just threw my phone. I'm like, I'm not getting Sturgill tickets.
Did that help? Did you throw in your phone help the situation?
Well, since now you could get some, I'm perfectly fine.
There you go. Be careful how far you're leaning. You're getting a little bit out of the shot. Just so you know.
Well, this tiny chair, if I was higher, no one would have this problem.
You've never had a problem being higher. Hey, give us a call if you want to join in the conversation at 760-454-8834. Leave a comment over on Facebook Live for us. Join in on the conversation. Maybe I don't have the comments working. Maybe they're not working tonight. That might.
No, nobody wants to talk. So they thought the show was at 7, so now they're just confused. They're delirious.
I did leave at an hour earlier, like, I know you were up late, but earlier when I said, hey, we're going to be late tonight, hopefully it works out for you. We're going to help somebody out here in the house. Can you come over here and do the show? It was because it was then that I left the message saying, hey, we're good to go. Are there comments on here and I just can't see?
No. So the hell that is the 90s. So yesterday my alarm clock doesn't go off, right? I decided, well, you know what? I'm going to order some ramen.
Nice.
So I go to grab my phone to go on Grubhub.
Yep.
I don't have a phone. I can't order Grubhub. So now I got to go back to the 90s, and I got to go ahead and call in an order.
Wait, but you don't have your phone.
I don't have my phone. So then I'm like, well, maybe like Wingstop, I could order from the webpage.
Right.
I go to get the webpage. I don't have a doorbell.
No, you don't have a doorbell.
People text when they get there.
Oh, they can't text you.
Or call.
Right. Oh, you.
I can't even order food. So now it's like 1992.
Wow, you couldn't order food delivered.
No, I had to eat what was in my refrigerator, Clark.
You didn't go over. Well, no, the game's on. You weren't going to go over to Wingstop.
No,
you already missed the first half.
I'm tired.
You record it just in case, so
no.
Then you could start it from the beginning if needed.
No.
Okay, just checking. I mean, you didn't have a phone, so you weren't going to get a spoiler there.
Right. That's true. That's actually you make a fine point there, Clark.
So the actual stats of Mitchell Trubisky yesterday, his total game stats were he was 10 for 21.
Okay.
125 yards.
Uh huh.
He was sacked 3 times for 23 yards there. And his rating was 66.6.
Ouch. So the way to beat the Philadelphia Eagles, the Eagles are stout against the run. They're one of the worst teams at covering the pass.
That's
so if you want to attack the Eagles, if you want to beat the Eagles, you pass, which is why I played a lot of Allen Robinson.
Yep.
And I didn't play any Jordan or Montgomery.
Or Taylor Gabriel.
I didn't play Montgomery because, well, they're stout against the run.
Right.
This guy game plans to only throw the ball 21 times against a team that you pass against because you have zero trust in the quarterback.
So it's because everybody's given him hell lately for not running the ball enough. So
right.
Now he decides to overcompensate. This is Mark Trestman again. Like, no, what are you doing?
This is a match. This is hollow. What are you hiding drugs behind this?
Let's not talk about it. It is hollow. What do you think's back there?
I bet you there's
I've had this place for a year.
It's probably money hidden in there.
We could be like, who is your guy? Your boy, Geraldo.
Sipowicz. Oh, Geraldo
Rivera
with
Al Capone's tomb or whatever or something.
There was nothing in it.
Nothing. Like, but we could do the same thing live here on Facebook.
I also remember watching some scam as a kid where they went into they were finally going to go into this secret chamber in a pyramid. And they were drilling, and they were going to get in there, and then
I think there's one of those happening again.
They get to the chamber, and they can't get in. And then the show ended. And you never knew what happened.
Well, what a great show.
I feel like we should set up one of these. I think that would be a good stage show.
Well, if we just did it here. I mean, we could just dig into this.
Yeah, live on air, we could get a saw.
We could get a saw.
This is metal?
I'd want to prep it, though. I don't want to do it tonight.
This is metal.
No, that's not metal. It's wood. Like,
I think
it's
wood and on metal. I think there's like a sheet metal behind it.
Huh. Interesting. It's about a foot deep, whatever it is. Or maybe it leads to something.
We'll see. Well, I don't know. It could have a whole secret passage.
The house is 100 years old.
Yeah?
There could be anything.
This could be Al Capone.
Does this lead to the Underground Railroad?
Like, it might.
Maybe Capone used it. Maybe they were running some booze from here to there. I have absolutely no idea. So, yeah, the Sturgill Simpson, he's playing at the United Center.
Isn't there a...
That's where we're going to be. I'm looking at getting, like, the general admission. Though.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Is that standing?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think so. Oh, we can talk after the show.
Yeah, we'll talk after the show.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind having a seat. And it's pre-sale, so we can probably find good seats.
Yeah.
In there. It's huge. Like, I don't know if he's going to sell it out.
I don't think he sells it out.
I don't know.
I'm debating if I should go to Survivor Series or not.
You have tickets.
I have tickets to NXT Saturday night.
Ah, okay.
But now I'm kind of curious to go to Survivor Series.
And you're going to AEW Dynamite on Black Wednesday with somebody else.
What did you call it? Black Wednesday?
Yeah.
Blackout, it's offensive.
Blackout Wednesday? Like back when I was in my early 20s, I went back to like my hometown bar on that night.
I understand the concept.
And you blacked out, and then you went and you ate a bunch of turkey the next day.
Yeah.
It may have happened once or twice in my 30s. well. Hasn't happened in my 40s yet.
I know. I was thinking, well, that's going to be an easy night to get off. And then I started thinking, like, man, that might not be.
No.
I mean, I've requested a month in advance.
You do okay that night?
I would imagine
that's
a decent...
Or you don't remember you doing that well.
I would imagine I probably do better than average. Although...
But a lot of people who live in Lakeview are leaving to go home.
Right. You're right. It's not the destination spot.
But, I mean, maybe people are in town, too.
People who actually live there are wealthy, and they're not... Going to the karaoke
bar. They're
not
bringing their friends to the karaoke.
You know, I mean, we tend to skew to a younger demographic.
But maybe the big tipper is like the one guy who's like, oh, I want to go show my friends I sing karaoke.
Big money
karaoke
Bobby. You bring him in.
Brian over there, somebody, Tommy, whoever, Sammy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whoever. It happens. Join in the conversation. 760-454-8834. 760-454-8834.
I had a Friday night, this Friday night,
yep,
where I was tipped a total of 6 times in over 100 singers.
Really?
6 times. That's frustrating. It happens. You know, what are you going to do? But
you were tipped 6 times on a Friday
6
night?
6 people tipped me, yeah.
Did they all give you $50?
It was higher than an it wasn't that, no, by any means. I did less than I normally would make,
they did help you not have the shittiest night of all time.
Yeah.
All right, that's good. That's good to hear. That is good to know.
I mean, it was definitely volume over quantity type night.
Sometimes don't you just go volume over quantity, just turn that shit up just to piss everybody off?
We talked Dolomite last week, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Did you watch it yet?
Not yet. Too late?
It's not too late.
I better watch it by
late.
Next week or it's going to be too late for you to want to discuss it.
Yeah. I mean, you got to get on that.
I will.
And then I watched something on Netflix last night. I started it where the butcher of the Holocaust, the gas man in the Holocaust. Have you seen this?
No.
There's some dude who got like arrested in the 80s as I think his name was Ivan the Terrible.
Okay.
And he was allegedly the guy who put everyone in the gas chamber. And he was like living in like Detroit selling working on cars.
Yeah.
And they went and they got him and they're like, "No, this is the guy." And it's like a 6-part documentary on, well, is he the guy or not? Cuz there was like a whole trial. You know, it sure feels like he was the dude, you know.
Right.
But then, like, some of the witnesses started – some of them might have been senile, and the whole thing was a mess. And so I had that on in the background last night. Not all that interesting, but – well, I guess it was kind of interesting.
Fun? Yeah, you enjoyed
it? Well, it's
like,
not fun.
It
I mean, nothing with the Holocaust is really fun.
No.
It's really a horrible, like –
my bad.
You know.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you think about it, it's like, wow, this – like I
should you have that on at the bar in the background?
No, this is at home, Clark.
Oh,
what's the matter with you?
I thought you were talking at the
remember
bar.
Remember, I was stuck in the 90s last night. So I remember as a kid, a Holocaust survivor coming to my class. You probably didn't have that in small town Kirkland. But
no, I did see a Holocaust survivor. It was at another school.
Oh, they bust you guys to
time. Something. Yeah, it was
we
random.
Actually went to the Holocaust.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, I almost called it the Hall of Fame. We almost went to the Holocaust Memorial.
Okay.
It just opened in D.C. when we were kids. I remember that.
Wow, that's awesome.
I got thrown out.
That's wild. Yeah, absolutely. This might be a great time to start discussing the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah. We could segue off of
just... Yeah,
move up. Holocaust.
I mean, do you know how many times when I'm given Segway tours that I do that? I'd say, and now we're going to segue over to this. And it's me just like changing one subject into the other.
Oh, because you're on a Segway.
And
hilarious. That gets you the tips right there. You're not getting 6 tips.
I don't tell them I'm going to segue into this. I actually, I'll just do the segue. Like I'll go, oh yeah, the largest fountain in the world. It used to be the largest illuminated fountain that had a light show. Now, the new one is currently in Dubai, which makes a lot of sense because they have a lot of tall things, including the world's tallest building, the Burj Khalifa, which is 829 meters tall.
The what?
Now let's look over at
the Burj Khalifa.
Tower. Burj Khalifa.
Isn't that a rapper?
No.
Burj Khalifa?
Look over here. over here, that is the Sears Tower, ladies and gentlemen. Well, it says Willis Tower in your pamphlets, but we call it the Sears Tower. For 25 years, that was the tallest building in the world. The tallest building in the world. That is 444 meters tall. The Burj Khalifa in Dubai, 829 meters tall. So what I'm telling you is
wow.
that the current tallest building in the world is almost double the size of the building that was the tallest in the world for 25 years.
I just learned
years.
Something. Thank you, Clark. That was
next year, Saudi Arabia. Speaking of Saudi Arabia,
yeah,
we'll get to
good
something
segue.
There. They're going to open up a building that is over 3,000 feet tall. Oh, you were just perpetrating right in the segue. Over 3,000 feet tall, making it double the 1,450 or 1,451 feet tall that the Sears Tower is, depending on whose estimate you're looking at.
Yeah, you're going to get the Tower of Babel before we know it, which I was thinking of renaming this show.
What, talking in Babel?
The Tower of Babel.
The Tower of Babel. That's, I'm in. I'm in 100%, but we're going to change the nameplates. One's going to say Tower of Babel host, Clark Lawrence. Guys, we'll talk Bears. We'll talk anything that you want. We'll jump back and forth if you're giving us a call, if you're leaving a comment over on the Facebook Live. Not as many people interacting tonight as when it comes to the Chicago Bears. Perhaps that's because four games and a loss. Morale in the Bears fandom has dropped.
Well, it's dead. I mean, it is. There's no
morale's dead. Like, we're done.
Well, I mean, what's there to be excited about? You can't get excited about the draft because we don't have a first-round pick.
Right.
You can't get excited about free agency because it's Teddy Bridgewater. You can't get excited about free agency because the cap is pretty high. You're going to cut
what's
Kyle
wrong
Long.
With Teddy Bridgewater?
He's a bridge over troubled water.
What
Clark.
About Marcus Mariota?
He's over. He's toast.
Ryan Pace found Drew Brees. Well, Brees had a little more success. Well, then Bridgewater. I don't think that's a terrible choice.
It's not. It's not horrible, but how much are you going to pay Teddy Bridgewater?
We're going to bring in Teddy Bridgewater for competition. We're going to pay it. He's going to get a lot of money.
I saw the score.
He won too many damn games with the Saints.
I saw the score on Twitter, and they were like, they were just running polls. Next week, would you rather have Colin Kaepernick or Mitch Trubisky be the starter? And it was about 80% for Colin Kaepernick. And then I'm like, oh, great. So then I scroll down. Let's get the quarterback. And it was like 67% Chase Daniels. And then the next one was, would you rather have Tony Romo or Mitch Trubisky as quarterback? 80% were for Tony Romo. So basically,
yeah.
We want anybody but who we have.
Anybody. Did they do the Jay Cutler one? Or is that too much?
I would guess they did. That makes sense. But
yeah. I don't know. I mean, would you rather they started Chase Daniel? I don't want to see that.
No.
I don't want to see that anymore.
I don't either.
Just keep Mitch out there.
Let's
finish it out.
You know,
more games with him. Let's see what the hell happens.
It's like the dopey band on the Titanic. You know, you got to play the fiddle out, man.
Yeah. Write it down.
Write it down, play him.
Did the band write it down?
Yeah, I think
the
so.
Movie?
Yeah, they're like up there.
Do they just show them sinking in the water, still
yeah,
playing?
They were playing Celine Dion. Celine Dion was there. She was on the Titanic.
Yeah, I get it. Saudi Arabia, my friend, the crown jewel. A lot of really cool things happened in that event that day.
We got to get to Japan, too. That
locally,
was a big show.
I would love to talk a little bit about Japan because you're going to help educate me. I've seen a lot of things lately. They're starting to set up Wrestle Kingdom
a little bit,
which is going to be 2 days this year. January, the beginning.
4th and 5th.
Yeah, there it is. They're at the Tokyo Dome in Japan.
Hi.
Kyle Archer, 2 years removed.
Yeah, it's been 2 years
since making
that
trip. You going to do another one?
I will, for sure.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to go Tokyo Dome. I think I'm going to go to Osaka and go to the...
So no Wrestle Kingdom, you'll do...
The castle.
Okay.
I can't think of the name of the castle. The castle in Osaka.
So there were quite a few matches on the Saudi Arabia card. Of course, you had Team Hogan versus Team Flair with their wrestlers going on there. I wasn't all of that interested in it.
Nah, it was okay. I mean, it was just old guys managing.
Yeah. And it's so weird to watch those now because I don't know if you helped point it out to me, but it's just like watching the manager like playing an old like 90s wrestling game where the manager was there on the outside, but he's not interacting. He's just walking back and forth. banging on the over on the mat for a while.
Right, because they can't get involved.
Right. No, you don't want them. I don't want them involved. They're too old for that. A little bit.
And randomly, Jimmy Hart's in the background.
Yeah,
have you noticed that
too? Yeah.
Like they don't. He's not.
With the megaphone with the jet black hair,
yeah.
Still as long as it was.
He doesn't even yell in the megaphone. He just stands there.
I don't know I don't think it's that he hasn't aged. It's just you can't, they don't show him that close up anymore.
No, he looks like the Crypt Keeper up close.
Yeah.
He really does. Like, he looks exactly like the Crypt Keeper from the HBO show.
Remember when they used to wheel out the old guys when we watched wrestling in the 90s, maybe even early 2000s? That's our Hogan and Flair and Jimmy Hart. Like, it is. It's so crazy to think about, but that's what it is. Other things that happened there. A lot of people gave a lot of hell to the first ever women's match for the WWE in their Saudi Arabia series.
So, just to set it up, in Saudi Arabia, women aren't even allowed to smile. If you smile and you're a woman, they execute you on site.
It's not quite.
Well, it's something like that. You can't drive. There's no lady bus drivers. Like, you can't get on a bus and there's a woman.
Ladies can't perform in any aspect of anything?
Well, they're not allowed to do anything.
Or is it just wrestling? Do you know? Like, are they like, no, we're not going to have them wrestlers? Like, are there women who can perform? Do they have a voice?
I don't think so. I think it's very limited. Yeah. So WWE has been going to Saudi Arabia because the prince, the king, whatever his name is, he pays $1 zillion to have WWE come in there. He gives them all this money, and they show up, and they scam him. They fleece him.
Right.
They put on a fake wrestling show, and they take all his money, and then they go home.
Right.
But they've never allowed women to perform on the shows before. So finally –
I've had mixed feelings about it, them performing there, like after the journalist was killed and all that stuff. It's like, maybe these aren't the people we want to perform for. But however, you bring up a good point. They're paying them a hell of a lot of money.
And you're performing for the kids. You're performing for you look at the crowd.
You're letting the people see what the West can be.
There's a guy in the front row who looks like Jabba the Hutt. He's got his robes on. They all wear the robes because that's their culture.
Yep.
And this guy's got the robes on, and he's sprawled out in the front row just sitting there. And then there's other family members of the king that are just bored. But then you look out, and it's a massive stadium. It's a massive open-air stadium in the middle of the desert. It's like 102 degrees, and they have massive – if a jobber comes out, if the Brooklyn Brawl –
Oh, the fireworks shows were phenomenal for everybody who came out.
So finally they let the women wrestle, but they got to wear clothing. They got to wear like a surf suit.
Full body suit. A t-shirt over it.
Yeah.
Because I think that their wrestling uniforms give away too much.
A little too tight.
They're too tight.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they did. But it's a good step.
Yeah, I thought so.
For them to even be there wrestling. I think it's a great olive branch.
The argument is that the government's using that as propaganda.
What do you mean?
The government is taking like, oh, look, we allow women to wrestle. Look at WWE's here and women are wrestling.
Don't you think that's the pitch from WWE to them?
I mean, fine.
Like, hey, Prince so-and-so, whatever your name is. Allow our women to wrestle. You can tell your people that you're allowing women to wrestle.
You could tell Natalia, though, was very – like, if you watch Total Divas, it's not that I do, but let's say I did.
All right.
Natalia, he's very passionate about – you know, she's the old lady in the locker room. She's the mother hen, and she likes being part of the history. Like, you know, her family, the Hart family, Bret Hart. Her dad was Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Her uncle's Bret Hart. Because Jim the Anvil Neidhart's tag team partner was Bret Hart.
Who was Davey Boy Smith to her?
Well, Bret Hart had like six brothers and like 12 sisters.
Right.
And everybody who tag teamed near Bret Hart ended up marrying one of the sisters.
Okay.
So his tag team partner, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, married one of the Hart girls.
Uh-huh.
So Natalia was made from one of Bret Hart's sisters and Jim the Anvil Neidhart. So she's a direct product of the Hart Foundation.
Wow.
She has DNA from both members
because
of that tag
of them.
Team.
Wow.
So
she is legit Hart Foundation.
She is.
Yeah.
Her foundation is 100% Hart.
You might want to tighten that one part over there.
Don't tell me what to tighten, pal.
Hey, I'm just saying.
So So, yeah, she goes out there and she likes being – that's a historic family in wrestling, the Harts out of Canada, out of Calgary. Stu Hart, the Dungeon, trained many wrestlers.
But what did you think of her in that match? Like, she seemed
– she was emotional.
That's cool.
She was emotional. She knew the historic nature of the match. She was happy to be a part of it. And her and Lacey Evans, who, by the way, was a service member.
Seems like they have a pretty good relationship.
Yeah, well, Natalya tends to bring the new people in and take them under their wing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you got to the main event. Well, first off, Brock Lesnar fights Cain Velasquez.
Their rematch, if you will.
Yeah, I completely lost everything out of my headphones. Thank you. So that's why I'm the host and star and you're the co-host, Clark.
Yeah, there you go.
So I didn't know a lot about Cain Velasquez, but he's the guy who beat Brock Lesnar in the UFC. So they have this match together, and Cain Velasquez comes out, and Brock just buries him.
Yeah, like a three-minute match, and then he won. Like on
gets
a,
him to tap out.
Tap out. Yeah, interesting.
And they were making the argument, well, Cain's a striker, and if he gets a hard strike, and he did. He got one hard strike on Brock that sent Brock reeling back.
Okay.
But Lesnar's more of a submission guy, was able to get him and choked him out.
So they had an MMA match?
No, I mean, it was a wrestling match, but the finish was more MMA-like. Like, they were trying to go for... But it didn't work. Like, it didn't work. It just made Cain Velasquez look bad, which they've invested all this money in.
Well,
I wonder how much of that money, though, is the Saudi
money. Wild. I saw him at AAA.
And he could wrestle, from what I understand.
Yeah, it looked like he could wrestle a little bit.
He wore, like, a lucha mask.
But I get why they didn't want that. I get what they were going for. It just seems like it didn't work at all. And you think Saudi Arabia paid for most of his...
Yeah, I think Vince McMahon's like,
year-long contract.
I think he's like, hey, listen, if you sign with us, we're going to send you to Saudi Arabia. We're going to give you the world title match. You're the first wrestler ever to get a world title match in your debut match. And the Saudis are going to give you $1 million, and then we're going to give you $2 million for the rest of the year. So you're going to get a $3 million contract just by showing up and doing this thing. And he's probably like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, I'll do that for $3 million. Is that the reason why the planes were grounded?
Well, we'll get to that. Yeah, there's more to this whole story, ladies and gentlemen, because there's some politics get involved later in the night.
Oh, stick around.
The king of wrestling ends up getting in a fight with the king of Saudi Arabia, but no one lost a head. So,
and it might be kayfabe. I don't know. We'll see. We'll get to it. What else happened that day at Crown Jewel?
I
say day because it started at like 11 o'clock here.
Yeah. It was local time at like 11 on Halloween. So Brock Lesnar beats Cain Velasquez. You also had the world heavyweight boxing champion getting his $1 million. Tyson Fury going up against
Braun Strowman.
Get these hands, Braun Strowman. And I think Fury won by countout. I think he decked...
Doesn't it make sense that he knocks Braun out outside of the ring and then just jumps back in and Braun gets counted out?
That was fine. You know, what are you going to do?
It looked fine. It looked like a boxer in there trying to wrestle.
By the way, those people in Saudi Arabia loved Brock Lesnar. Did you notice that?
Did they?
Oh, my God. He was supposed to be the heel, and they were like, Brock, number one, Brock.
They were not happy about how quickly that match went, I bet.
Oh, they don't know the difference.
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
I don't know. What else happened on the card? Anything?
I'm trying to think of anything important. So that those were the big matches, and then you had the cluster. You know what? One of the things I enjoyed is it's about 1,000 degrees in that ring, and they have this this match that's designed for the tag teams to win the best tag team of the world tournament. It's like the cup, the tag team cup. If you remember, Shane McMahon won a similar tournament to be the best in the world.
Oh, there last year.
Right. This year it was a tag team deal, so it was the best in the world tag team tournament, but it was a gauntlet. So if your team wins, you stay in the ring and the next team comes out. Well, one of my favorite tag teams right now in the WWE is Heavy Machinery.
Right.
And you have this guy who he plays like a slow person, but he's a big fat guy. And his partner is a big fat guy. They're both muscle guys. I mean, they're both, you wouldn't want to mess with these dudes. They're powerhouses.
Right.
I believe they're I believe they're somehow with the Olympics and maybe a weightlifting competition of some sorts, but very strong dudes, especially the really fat guy. And he does the worm. You know, he gets down and he does the old school worm.
Yep.
Well, you could tell these guys came out and they were on fire, man. They went out and they beat the first team and they had all the energy in the world. Then New Day came out and you could tell these guys were just gassed.
Were they?
Oh, my God. You just saw, you know, they all the energy just slowed drastically.
Sure. Especially, yeah, that heat, all of that.
They were trying to do their best. I follow the one guy. His name's Otis on Instagram. And all his posts are him cooking zillion calories of food and just eating it.
I love it.
And his mom.
That's what it should be.
His mom is there, and they got to be like Serbian or something. And, you know, they got kind of like a weird accent. Like, oh, I'm going to eat some food tonight. It's weird, but it's worth a follow. So, anyways, yeah, it was fun watching them gassed. Then you get to the main event, the world title match, and you have Bray Wyatt. Who, when he comes to the ring, he carries a lantern that's a head.
It's his head.
It's a chopped-off head, and he carries a lantern of a cut-off head, which is funny because of the whole Saudia thing with the Khashoggi got his head cut off, which isn't funny. But, you know, so there was some question, well, is he going to come down and bring the head to the ring, which he did, which was interesting. But the world title did change hands in Saudi Arabia as the fiend Bray Wyatt – beat Seth Rollins, who, by the way, has been done for like a month now. Fans have turned on him.
Seth?
Yeah, my God.
They're done.
He pissed everyone off on Twitter. Nobody's looked back. So
that's crazy to me, too.
So the Fiend wins. He's the new world champion. And now the next night, Friday night, they're in Buffalo, New York for Friday Night SmackDown Live on the Fox Network. Show starts at 7 o'clock. Well, they're in Saudi Arabia. So everybody gets on the plane, you know, Hogan's eating peanuts in the back and, you know, nobody has allergies, so everything's fine. And Ric Flair's wooing and taking off his clothes and, you know, everything's going fine. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, no, you cannot leave. Mechanical problems.
Why is somebody talking like that?
Because they're Saudi Arabians. They're Arabic.
Right.
You've never met an Arabic. They tend to have like a deeper, thick accent.
That's the same voice that you did when you were in Japan.
No, that's, oh, hey, bro. Hey, hey.
Yeah, there's really not much difference.
Hey.
Okay. Yeah.
The Japanese is a little more choppy with their speak. And I don't mean that in an offensive way. It's just, you know, I've, of course, been studying Japanese. Watashiba al this. No, no, wait. Watashi wa al des.
Okay.
Hi.
Okay.
So, Dare Lorenzen.
And with the Saudi Arabia show.
So they can't leave the country. And there's some reports that, you know, the government might be holding them back. The rumor was that. What was said was there was mechanical issues. The rumor was Vince McMahon got on his plane. He got the hell out of there.
Yep.
That they were airing the show in Saudi Arabia live on TV. And Vince McMahon went to the king and he's like, hey, pal, you still owe me for last month's show.
Right.
And he's like, oh, no, Mr. McMahon. We will send you money COD. And no, pal, I need it now. And they didn't do it. So Vince McMahon went to his producer. He's like, Kevin. Cut the feed. So they cut the live feed to the television show.
For the only in Saudi Arabia. So locally, Vince McMahon cut the feed.
The show goes off the air. And like when the NFL wouldn't allow you to watch games if they didn't sell out.
Right. They blacked it out.
Yeah, the same thing happened. So
yep.
The Saudis, so allegedly they were pissed off. And they wouldn't let WWE leave. And now, mind you, again, they have a show the very next day at Buffalo, New York. Scheduled for a live television show on the
Friday
Fox Network.
Not the one that was moved over to FS1.
No, this is on the network.
Yeah, the one on the network, on Fox Network.
So it's a big deal. So now they're being everybody's fighting each other. That's, again, rumor. Nobody knows for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, I think they got home the next day, but they did miss SmackDown. Meanwhile, on SmackDown, they scrambled and they took the roster from NXT, which is their developmental territory, but isn't really. They have a show on USA Network?
Yeah, it is.
They have a show on the USA Network, on Wednesday nights going up against AEW, the owner, the Khan,
Tony Khan.
Other Middle Eastern guy, owns the Jacksonville Jaguars and then I think Manchester United, and also owns AEW Wrestling. They take that roster. That roster invades WWE. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was this whole thing started with me maybe getting SmackDown tickets. What do you think the day of SmackDown, that Sunday, you and I go, we go get some Gene and Jude's, and we go.
You mean Survivor Series.
Survivor Series. We go and grab some Gene and Jude's, and we drive out to Rosemont, and then we look and see if the ticket prices crash, and if they do, we go.
I like that idea.
And if they don't, we'll go play some laser tag.
What day is Survivor Series?
It would be Sunday.
Well, one of our pay-per-view guys moved to Dallas, so we don't have to worry about him for the big four.
So did you hear? I don't know if you've heard this narrative
so,
tonight.
My wife, she'll either watch it or not. Yeah, I'm in. No, I've heard a few different narratives there.
The Black Cat narrative?
Nope.
So tonight on Monday Night Football, Black Cat went across the field.
Oh, they got the Cubs one year.
And now the
69, I think.
Now the suddenly the Dallas Cowboys are on fire.
That's amazing. This whole WWE thing, though, like the stock was dropping and all of this because word of the deal with Saudi Arabia was going away the last couple of days. Like, it's been dropping. So today, of course, the WWE released a statement just to announce that all is good, man. Nothing is wrong with the Saudis. They just announced that they have expanded their
live. Mr. Lebowski, the plane has crashed into the mountain.
They have expanded their live partnership through 2027 to include a second annual large-scale event. So a second Crown Jewel, which I thought they were already doing too.
Through 2027?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The long-term partnership is all good. WWE, publicly trust. Yeah. Like they're making an announcement that nothing is fucked here, man. The last few days, with all the rumors going around,
nothing is
really
fucked,
concerned.
Man. The plane has crashed into the mountain.
I saw a tweet, and I'm just kind of throwing it out there from memory. We could look that up later, probably. But remember when Vince McMahon sold stock so he could restart the XFL?
Yep,
that's what he did. They're down. Like WWE stock is down a ton since then. Like, he sold it to the highest of highs right there.
Sure. That's what you do.
And they've been down ever since. Like, he nailed it. And he sold those stocks, whether he did or not, to start the XFL.
Right. That's what he did, yeah. I mean, that's what was stated. He's taking a percentage of the company. He's pulling out his ownership so he could put it towards the XFL.
It's brilliant. He got out when it was at its highest. It's brilliant. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, but he still owns a huge chunk of it, and if he's pulling out and that's causing a decrease in the stock, then it's costing him in the long term.
Sure, that's a decent point, but I'm sure that he's got something back up his sleeve. Like, after this XFL folds,
uh-huh,
he'll be back and he'll get the WWE back up in and at it, Al. Quickly, AEW. I don't know. Like. Maybe we do our show at the wrong time.
Here's what the 10-year stock
looks
like.
I always enjoy their show.
It's always good. It's always important to look at stock from a long-term perspective.
Well, they started in 2008. I mean, yeah, they grew.
It's massive growth.
Yeah, it went huge in the last 2 years, though. That's a short time period in their whole history, though. Like, they could see a hard crash, too.
Well, that's the start of the network.
We'll see. Yeah. Well, what was the network, like 2015?
Yeah.
I mean, when did we come back? 2014, 2015,
yeah,
somewhere in there?
About that, yeah.
It took them a little bit of time to catch steam after that, but it jumped up. Look for the WWE stock's long-term history and see what they've done.
It is going down. If you look at the short-term, I'm sure it's ugly. Let's see. Here's,
right. Yeah, it's got to be on the short-term.
I mean, there's your two-year.
Yep. I mean, the drop isn't that huge. Like, they can make a comeback soon.
Sure.
There is a
it is trending down, though.
Yeah,
you're right.
Absolutely. Since he sold it, it's been trending
down. It hit a high of 101 in, let's say, January. It's now down to 63, so that's a large percentage drop-off.
Yeah. Before we talk NJPW and Wrestle Kingdom,
uh-huh.
AEW this Wednesday night in their go-home show for Saturday night's full gear pay-per-view. They are advertising Hangman Adam Page and Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega!
Versus Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm still confused of who Kenny Omega is. I mean, the criticisms that are out there I agree with.
Because people don't know him.
I don't know who Hangman Adam Page is. I know who Jericho is, and I love Jericho.
Right.
Man, his promos have been spot on.
Hilarious. He and Cody did a great promo last week. I thought Jericho nailed it.
The signing.
Yeah, I thought the signing was fantastic.
In the back, beating on his brother.
Cody's going to speak tomorrow. Yeah, I like that. I liked all of it. You thought maybe the limo scene. What did you think?
It was a little lame.
You thought it was lame.
Yeah, I
enjoyed it. I thought I was watching a conversation between two human beings, one who had a great connection to the father of the other human being. And it felt like I was just a fly on the wall in a limousine, and I liked it a lot. And the awkwardness of it, I thought, played into the realism of it for me. It felt real. It felt legit. Like, it felt like, hey, there's a cameraman hanging out here. Not like in WWE, where sometimes they accidentally leave cameramen in places where they might get murdered. Like, they leave them in fires that Bray Wyatt starts. I don't know. And then Trent, I think he's one of the best friends, is going to be fighting the Bastard Pack.
Wow.
The Bastard Pack.
Breaking news.
And this is in the Go Home show, and then Saturday night is Full Gear, one of their pay-per-views.
A man was stabbed to death over a chicken sandwich at a Popeyes in Maryland, sources told police.
No way.
The man was stabbed about 7 p.m.
way.
Monday at the Popeyes on the 6200 block of Livingston Road in Oxton Hill.
Jesus.
They found the victim in the parking lot suffering stab wounds. He was taken to hospital where he died. What the circumstances of his dispute over the chicken sandwich may have been is unclear. Police are trying to get to the bottom of it. So,
guys, it's chicken with spices added to it. And it's put on a bun.
Mm,
I'm
so
sure
good.
It's delicious, but you can wait for it. You don't have to. You don't have to sit there in all of your lines and all of this right now. Like, you can wait. You can go at another time. There's no reason to get all angry in a line waiting for this chicken and shooting another human being. Cut this shit out. That's ridiculous. Join in on the conversation. 760-454-8834. 760-454-8834. So you gotta chat me up. You gotta smarten me up a little bit. I need to learn a little bit more about New Japan Pro Wrestling and what is being set up for this year's Wrestle Kingdom.
Well, there's a lot of
there's
developments over the show.
There's going to be a press conference tonight, I believe.
That sounds right.
At 1 a.m.? I believe it's 1 a.m. Local time.
Yeah. So,
or no, that's Eastern. So I think it might be midnight.
Well, we'll start with the biggest news first. Number one, they decided – it's their WrestleMania. They decided – It's on the 4th every year, regardless of the day of the week. So if the 4th's on a Tuesday, WrestleMania is on a Tuesday.
Okay.
This year, the 4th is a Saturday. So they said, well, hell, let's have Saturday. Why not do a second night and do Sunday and so have both nights?
Uh-huh.
So there's two nights. And
well, because it's a long show.
Yeah,
there's a lot of matches to be had
at
the biggest event of the year. Like,
I think when I went, it was a 4 or 5 hour show.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you do 2 3-hour shows, bonus. You know, you get 6 hours over two nights. I'm fine with that. So, Okada, so Jay White, who I believe is the Intercontinental Champion, won a match. And he comes out and he goes, you know, hey, Okada, you know, why don't we have a match at one of the nights? And
because Okada beat him for the world heavyweight title, right?
I believe so, yeah. If I remember right, he did.
A year ago or so, yeah.
So Okada's been the champion a while now. Meanwhile, Kota Ibushi won the tournament, the G1. So he has the briefcase. So he's got the main event of one of the nights against Okada. So Jay White comes out and he's like, hey, Okada, come out here. Why don't we do something here? So instead of Okada coming out, Naito comes out.
Oh.
Now, Naito's been wanting to become dual champion. Now, I believe Jay White, again, has the Intercontinental title. So Naito comes out, and he's like, no, 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 no. I want a piece of this. So then Ibushi comes out, and he's like, no, I haven't. So Jay White's like, come on, Okada, come out. So Okada comes out, and he just kind of laughs at it, and he's like, yeah, you know what? I'll do two nights.
Uh-huh.
I'm fine. Whoever, whatever.
Yeah.
Set it up. So Okada goes, let's put it to the web. Let's let the people decide what happens. Meanwhile, Naito got screwed once by a web vote that destroyed his Wrestle Kingdom main event, which forever scarred him, which is why he is the way he is today.
Okay.
He hates the Intercontinental title because he was going for the world title, and they put a poll up. Would you rather have the world title with him in the main event, or would you rather have Tanahashi, who was their star at that time, was their biggest star, in the main event for the Intercontinental title? And the Intercontinental title ended up closing the show. So he was really pissed about that. So now Okada puts that it's going to be a web thing. So maybe that's what the press conference will be tonight.
So it's going back there. Okay.
So anyway, so then you have Tanahashi now, who was the ace of the company for over a decade. He was the star of the show. He was the leading man. If this was a Hollywood play or a movie, he was the leading guy, and he had nothing lined up. So he finishes his match, and all of a sudden the screen starts going crazy with a dude who looks like him, like getting beat up constantly. And then all of a sudden the Painmaker emerges, Chris Jericho on the screen.
Dude.
And he's like, Wrestle Kingdom, Painmaker versus the Ace.
Wow.
So you got that match now signed. You have
that's cool.
There's going to be a special ceremony for the retirement of Jushin Liger, and Liger will have a match.
Okay.
So we don't know who his opponent is yet.
Why do I keep seeing that AEW doesn't have a working relationship with NJPW? Like,
they don't. But their talents are allowed to work overseas.
Okay.
They just can't work
all
in
of
America.
Their talents? Like, is Jericho the only AEW member, roster holder?
No.
Who's going to be there?
I wouldn't be surprised if Dean Ambrose has a match.
Little John Moxley there.
Kenny Omega.
So now, yeah, now we're definitely on.
Uh-huh.
It's just now we kind of back channeled into being the host.
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So now the co-host is the host.
Yeah.
All is right
Amen.
In the world.
All is right in the world. The co-host is now the host.
So my guy who broke his neck a couple years ago,
yeah.
The ticking time bomb.
Yep.
Daniel
Bryan.
Hiromu Takahashi.
Yeah.
I always get Tanahashi, and then he's, I think, Takahashi.
Okay.
So, Hiromu, the ticking time bomb, broke his neck seriously in America on a Spanish fly move that was done late in the match. And
that's right. That was one of their shows here.
Yeah. And there hasn't been a lot of talk. I mean, it's been like over a year or about a year. And I was starting to think, you know, he wasn't going to come back to wrestling. But all of a sudden on the screen, Will Ospreay won his light heavyweight title. And he's like, there's nobody that's going to challenge me. I've beaten everybody. There's nothing left. And then Darrow, the little cat, bounces on the screen with his new partner. I can't think of the pink cat's name. She's got a Japanese name.
Okay.
They're bouncing on the screen. There's a little time bomb. And then all of a sudden, poof, there's a countdown. There's an explosion. And he comes out from the back, and he's got a neck brace on. He rips the neck brace off, and then he throws himself on the ground. And then he runs. He sprints to the ring, and he runs, and he throws himself into one of the barriers. And then he runs, and he throws himself into the other barrier. Then he gets in the ring, and he falls down. He takes a bunch of – falls, he gets up, and he's like, I'm back. And then him and Ospreay hug, and then he kind of, you know, and he challenges him. And so Ospreay is gonna fight him at Wrestle Kingdom. That's a match I want to see. He's my spirit animal. If I was a pro wrestler and I got to play a character based on myself, it's basically what he does. And the guy's just great. Hiromu's absolutely one of my favorite wrestlers in the world.
Yep.
And the fact he's coming back from the broken neck, I mean, a tear. I was weeping. This is twice in a month that New Japan has gotten me crying. So
you were crying. Fans were crying. They were doing it again.
Yeah. Well, he came out and he gave Milano. Milano is one of the Milano TA is one of the commentators.
Yep.
He came out and he brought him Darrow, the little cat.
Yep.
And he started crying, and it's just a beautiful moment. So
sure.
Yeah. So New Japan been on fire, and Wrestle Kingdom's really heating up, and the best product in the world, $9.99 a month. It's got English commentary. I highly recommend it. If you want a wrestling that's, you know, like you watch a show once or twice a month, that's it.
Yeah.
You're seriously going to fall in love with it in a couple months.
Cool. Well, I'll try to give it a little bit more of a shot here. Right now, I've really only had time to stick with the 2 hours of AEW a week, but I don't know if I'm going to watch it.
Oh, bullshit.
Night.
I've been talking about New Japan for over a year and a half, long before AEW, and you never found time. So don't make it seem like now that AEW you can't find time.
I watched New Japan and stuff. I was sticking with you on that, but once they all left and came here and started
you
AEW,
you never
wild
bullshit. I made you watch like two matches. Now you claim you watched New Japan.
I watched New Japan. I watched some Wrestle Kingdom, the one you were at. I watched the whole show. I watched all of it. I watched the Young Boys right into the Old Boys, into the New Cats, into the Jericho against Alpha versus Omega. I watched it all. I saw it all. I saw it. It was the day after the Rice Bowl at the Tokyo Dome.
It was the day after the Rice Bowl.
Yeah,
that is true.
Don't try to pretend like I wasn't watching. Uh-oh. Hello.
You say hello, I say goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
I think it's the other way around.
Goodbye, goodbye. You say hello, I say goodbye.
I do believe it's the other way around.
Well, maybe in England, but this is America.
Well, that just depends on where you're at, pal.
Pal.
That's what it really depends on. Yep.
All right, well, that's about the extent.
That feels about right.
Yeah. I'm playing this great game called Outer World, so I got to go fly my spaceship tonight.
What about Inner World?
Well, I've been playing a lot of Rim World, too. That game, again, it's the most addictive game in the history of humanity. Best game in the last decade.
Okay.
By far. You know, if you're into that style of indie game, but, you know, not everybody is. And for those people, I feel bad for.
Same here. Ladies and gentlemen, you have listened, you have watched another episode of Live at the Sports Attic every Monday night at 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. if things get changed around. Al, it's been great. It's kind of funny. Like I think the last couple of weeks before this, we spent a lot of time at the beginning of our show, an hour and a half, talking about the Chicago Bears
being,
you know, the local team, and that That's something that we do here. This week, it seems like that ship has sailed. Like, I didn't have as much to talk about it. So it was nice to get to talk some more pro wrestling with you. To kind of update it a little bit. Are you going to make a phone call? Who are you calling? What, did you just smell it? What are you looking for?
I thought those were the old school scented stickers.
Oh, there's some scented stickers on there. I'm sure of it.
Where'd you get this phone?
That was my wife's phone in her room.
Oh, wow.
When she was a kid. Yeah.
Would she grow up in the 70s?
No, like the 2000s, the early 2000s. The late 90s into the early 2000s.
I had a cordless phone in my room. I don't know what the hell they were doing in Mokina. I mean, this is the 1970s.
Whoa, Mr. Larcher. Not everyone was all tech savvy as you with the cordless phones and all that stuff.
She was the creative type.
See? Look at that.
I like her stickers.
Yeah, yeah.
She did a nice job. I mean, but seriously, this phone is like, this isn't a 1972 office phone.
Yeah, it is. It still works. That's the one we had plugged in when we had a phone at our last place.
Hold that. Yellow.
Who are you calling?
Oh, hey, Virginia. Yeah. Virginia McCaskey of the Bears.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm still stuck doing the show with Clark.
What do you have to say?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk. I do have some ideas about how to fix this team. You know, I'll get you. I don't want to say things in front of Clark because he just takes those ideas and takes the credit for himself. But, yeah, we'll talk. All right, next week. Right. Okay. All right, Mrs. McCaskey. Take care. All right, bye.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. We'll be back next week with another episode of Live at the Sports Attic. Maybe we'll actually be in the attic. Thanks for coming over here today.
Yeah. Next week, I think we will be in the attic. I feel like I'm due for an attic.
I'm due for an attic.
You know, unless more BS comes about, you know, somebody's in the hospital or.
The co-host, huh? Look at this. This is pretty awesome. I mean, it sucks, but it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, they look good. Yeah, they had a lot of credibility. See, if we did a remote.
They do look good.
You know?
They do look good.
If we
good.
Ever do a remote, what are you doing?
They look pretty perfect, absolutely.
It's not how you do that.
Oh, man. Live at the Sports Attic. We'll catch you next week doing the same show. Maybe a little better, maybe a little worse. Have a good night. It's been a great show. I really like him a lot. That's my partner, Alfred Ferdinand Larcher.
He's all right.
The third.
Well, this would be the first. This would be the second. This would be the third.
I'm going to fade out on the Blog Talk episode and let the Facebook folks see us.
Okay.
Out.
All right, lovely. Lovely day, lovely day.